Now, a stark divide remains in how fast cancer patients can access vital treatment depending on where they live, the government is being warned. The Irish Cancer Society points to how the radiotherapy network covering St Luke's, St James's and Beaumont hospitals in Dublin is only meeting the 15-day target for patient access to treatment in 67.3% of cases. And this means the treatment target is missed in almost one-third of cases. And what is also being highlighted is the fact that many, I suppose, machines are actually broken, which means that there are, you know, some people are missing their cancer treatment. Their pre-budget submission is urging investment in radiotherapy machines and infrastructure to improve access. Now, Aoife Habenicht is a mother of two from Kilcullen and a cervical cancer survivor. She joins me on the line now. Aoife, good morning. Thanks for taking our call on the Kildare Today Show.
Hi, Hannah. Thanks for having me.
So you, this is an article that was on the Irish Independent and you were quoted in it as, you know, you were one of those people who were impacted by machines being broken while receiving treatment. Can you take us back to that time of receiving that diagnosis and I suppose what treatment was like, what happened for you?
Yeah, absolutely. It was March 2024 when I was diagnosed. It definitely came out of the blue for me. All of my previous smear tests had been completely clear. And I was diagnosed with stage 3C cervical cancer. I was diagnosed St. Patrick's weekend and I started treatment about 5 weeks later. I started with six sessions of chemotherapy, which in my case, those sessions were kind of to destabilize the tumor before my radiotherapy actually did the hard work of getting me better. So 6 weeks, and then I started into 25 sessions of radiotherapy in St. Luke's in Rathgar. And of my 25 sessions, actually six of them were delayed because of machinery breakdown. And you don't really question it when you're going through treatment. You just kind of think it's part of it because obviously you've never done it before. And so it was only afterwards that I kind of wondered about the delays. And so it turned out that my LINAC, which is the machine that gives you the radiotherapy, was actually, it's still in use now, and it's actually 18 years old. And globally, they kind of give these machines a best before date of 10 years. After finding that out, I did a bit of research and have joined the Irish Radiotherapy Advocacy Group. And we've 25 of the machines in Ireland and eight of them are actually over 15 years old right now. Wow. So it's really having a detrimental effect on the staff because they want to do their best. I only had the best encounters with everyone that worked in St. Luke's. But they get frustrated with the downtime as well, you know. And then obviously just to support survival rates and also support a better quality of life post-treatment, you know, because the older the machines, the more issues you're going to have after you finish your treatment.
Yeah, and Aoife, when you were, I can imagine if you're receiving treatment, they tell you what days it's going to be on. So would you plan your day around that treatment? And if it was cancelled, that kind of, you know, messes everything up.
Yeah, absolutely. So in my case, to make sure that cervical cancer is effectively treated, they actually have to be daily. So I did 25 sessions over 5 weeks. So I kind of went into it with the mindset, Hannah, of it being my part-time job. Mm-hmm. You know, the lying on the machine only takes about 10 to 12 minutes. But when the machine broke down, you had to be facilitated in a different unit. So, you know, you're kind of, my mindset of it being a part-time job quickly kind of changed to it being a full-time job with overtime, because sometimes you'd be there for kind of 6 hours. And obviously I was trying to be a mum at the same time. So, you know, I was trying to keep my children unimpacted by it all. So I wanted to do the creche drop-offs and pick-ups, and I wanted to be the one making dinner. And those things were the things that suffered.
And oftentimes when we've spoken to other people who have gone through cancer treatment, they say that they don't want that to define them and kind of take over their daily life. But as you were saying, you know, if a machine isn't working, it really does kind of uproot everything that you try to plan for that day. And as you were saying, you were just trying to be a mom as well for your two children and be involved and not have that much of an impact on them. When you think about cancer treatment, you think it will go, I suppose, as smoothly as possible. You don't really think that there is the possibility of machines being broken for such a critical time in your life when you're trying to get better.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's we're calling it kind of a postcode lottery, because if you do happen to be assigned to the hospitals with one of the 8 machines that are 15 years old, you know, that's really not fair. It shouldn't be that your address and your nearest hospital is kind of determining the factor of what kind of care you receive. No one should have to worry about whether the machinery is fit for purpose.
And that we were speaking to the Irish Cancer Society about it before, that a lot of these machines are well past their, I suppose, their expiry date, essentially, you know, their life longevity date as well. I mean, to have 6 treatments cancelled, I can imagine even after the first one, you're probably like, is this going to be the norm now for me?
It is very stressful, and I was really lucky in that my employer Aldi really supported me throughout my treatment. But I was sitting with patients, Hannah, who were getting clearly physically stressed and worried and anxious, because say you were delayed by even 3 hours, they were trying to also hold down a job and get back to the office. And, you know, I was very lucky, but not every employer was affording the patients that benefit. So it really can have a huge impact financially on people as well.
Of course. And again, the financial part of cancer is a big thing that's come up. Thankfully, that more awareness is having around it, because it puts a lot of families, a lot of people in financial difficulty. Again, there's a lot of issues when it comes to money while also fighting cancer.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I was very, very lucky. I was based in St. Luke's in Rathgar, which is a beautiful facility, surrounded by trees and 100% free parking. But if you were in a city centre, you definitely wouldn't have that parking benefit. So again, I consider myself very lucky.
Aoife, as you were saying, it wasn't until really after your treatment that you looked more into the machines not working and, you know, the access to treatment for patients. How are you doing now, Aoife, since that treatment? Have you finished it now?
I've finished it, and thankfully I am absolutely perfect. I feel some days as though nothing ever happened. But another point just on the older machines is that in order for them to be completely accurate, Hannah, the patient has to get tattoos that kind of serve as a guide for the machine. And so I have a daily reminder when I see my little tattoos. I have 4 of them. But if I had been on a brand new machine, those tattoos are no longer necessary. So patients who do survive actually have a daily reminder every time they look, you know, if you get out of the shower or whatever. So, you know, that could be avoided as well if we just ring-fenced funding and made sure that we never got to this position again. And we had nearly a rolling replacement scheme whereby you see that the machine is 8 years old, best before date is 10 years. So let's go about starting the planning to replace it now ahead of time.
And Aoife, I'm actually quite surprised hearing about these tattoos. Can you explain a little bit about, I've never heard of that before, receiving treatment. What do you mean by tattoos?
So basically, if you think of radiotherapy, it's giving a really precise X-ray beam into the tumour. And so in order for the machine to get it spot on exactly where you need that focused X-ray to be, they give you an actual little tattoo. Now, they're dots. They're little blue dots. And so I have four of them, and they were used to guide the machine. So every time I lay down for one of my 25 sessions, they line up the machine based on those tattoo dots.
Wow. So again, a reminder of that. And if we, if there is investment for newer machines, you wouldn't have that.
No one would need them. Yeah.
And Aoife, again, you are kind of working now with an organisation to raise awareness about that. How has that been going since getting involved in it?
Yeah, so this kind of started after my treatment. I decided to write to the then HSE chief exec, Bernard Gloucester, and just put my thoughts on paper. And that eventually led to me meeting the Taoiseach Micheál Martin with the radiotherapy advocacy group led by Aisling Barry, who is a head oncologist in Ireland. And then we were invited to speak at the Oireachtas Health Commission earlier this year. And so then I joined up with the Irish Cancer Society only 2 weeks ago. And we basically put in front of about 80 TDs and ministers our hope for the budget for next year, with the hope that €20 million can be ring fenced for a rolling replacement program for these machines.
Aoife, I just want to thank you for taking the time to join us on the Kildare Today show to share your story, and unfortunately the story of many others of, you know, their treatment being delayed or impacted by broken machines. But it is great to hear that you're doing a lot better now, and so much work has been put in to address this. I really want to congratulate you, Aoife, and the work that you are doing to make sure that that happens. That is Aoife Habenicht, a cervical cancer survivor and mother of two from Kilcullen. She faced delays for her treatment on that linear accelerator called Linac radiotherapy machine, which was 18 years old. But Aoife, thanks again for joining us on the Kildare Today show. It was lovely to talk to you and get that story across to listeners across Kildare. But a big thanks to Aoife for joining us.